That public servant should be expected to work honestly and collaboratively with others who were presumably elected to do the same thing. I know this description of American government might seem better suited to a high school textbook than a contemporary political memoir, and I am well aware that our polarized politics, egged on by supersized outside spending by interest groups on the left and the right, has taken us further and further away from the ideal of value-based, and for that matter, neighbor-based governing. But that is the very reason I wrote this book. At a time when our politics has become increasingly pungent, and politicians are more often lampooned as cartoon caricatures than portrayed as public servants, it is worth remembering why we have this representative democracy in the first place. As elected officials, we were sent to the halls of government by our neighbors to do their work, and much work needs to be done. Remembering our shared experiences with the people we represent makes us better and more accountable civil servants. So this is my story about how I went from leading my suburban high school's prom fundraiser, a lifesaver lollipop drive, to winning a seat in the United States Senate. It's about tackling all the obstacles I encountered along the way. My parents' divorce, my father's alcoholism and recovery, tough decisions as a prosecutor, my political campaigns, and Washington's gridlock, with good intentions and, whenever I could, some good humor. It's about my immigrant grandparents who settled in Milwaukee and my Slovenian-American grandpa who spent his life working 1,500 feet underground in the mines in Ely, Minnesota. He never graduated from high school, but he saved money in a coffee can so he could send my dad to college. Both my mom's and my dad's parents devoted their lives to making sure their children had a better future. My mom and dad carried on from there, both serving the public. She is a teacher, he is a newspaper man. They taught me not only to approach my work with a public purpose, but also to set expectations high for myself, my family, and for everyone I work with. When our daughter Abigail was 4 years old, she had a neighbor girl over and they were playing with dolls. The other girl was a little older than Abigail, and as I walked by my daughter's room, I heard the older girl say to her, "One day soon, I'm going to have a baby, just like this doll." I stopped in my tracks, stacked towels in hand, and thought, this is it. This is the moment. Maybe not the moment, given that she was only 4, but certainly a moment. What is she going to say? Brushing her doll's hair with much calm, my daughter looked up at that girl with a sweet little smile and said, "Well, I'm going to have a baby too, but not for a long, long time, because you can't have a baby until you run for office and win an election." Okay, that was a minor mom victory. Standing outside my daughter's bedroom that day, I knew we'd set expectations high enough in our household. And I knew something else. "You can't have a baby until you run for office and win an election" was not the answer I would have given growing up in Plymouth, Minnesota in the 1960s and 70s. Back when I was in fourth grade, I was actually kicked out of my cherished suburban public school, Beacon Heights Elementary, for having the audacity to be the first girl to wear pants. This was, mind you, in Minnesota, where I walked to school up the Bezener's Hill and through the woods, rain or shine, 10 below or worse. That bold, pants-wearing move landed me in the principal's office, where I was called in for my bell-bottomed reckoning by Mrs. Quady, our beehive principal. Peering down above her cat-eyed black glasses in what to me at that moment looked larger than a beehive. Picture a wig the size of a construction cone. She called me out with so much scorn that I could feel it bouncing off my mod, multicolored, flowered pants. "Amy Klobuchar, you can wear your culottes and your knickers and your trousers at home, but at Beacon Heights School, you wear dresses." I wish I could say that I talked back or started a girls can wear pants petition drive or even more dramatically, a lawsuit. But since I was the good girl, who had never been called into the principal's office before, who didn't really know how to take on the likes of Mrs. Quady and talk back,